is at an all-time low. And so how do we explain this? Many people believe in the power of positive thinking, or in a higher power, or luck, and in the idea that things are always progressing, always getting better, is what they mean by that. In fact, in America, new is almost always synonymous with better. And so we see that what many, if not most, of our countrymen believe is not so much in Christianity, at least not in any way that we as Orthodox would recognize it, but rather various forms of philosophical humanism. We believe in ourselves and in our ability to improve ourselves. And this explains why the vices listed by St. Paul in today's epistle in many quarters are not even considered anymore. They're not even considered sins in many quarters of our culture, and sadly even in some churches. But rather they're championed as some kind of a liberation and freedom of speech from conformity to the modesty and restrictions of expression of the past. And so fundamentally we realize here that there's a real distance from people understanding what sin is really about. That it separates us from God, that it's a sickness, and that Christ God in his love for us desires to heal us, to help us to struggle, to help us to overcome them, rather than just pretend that they're not there. Because in doing so, what happens? They just sit there and they fester and they continue to trouble us and trouble those around us and our culture. And I don't know about you, but I meet many people today who are blissfully disinterested in Christianity. Part of me understands the apathy. Much of what is understood as Christianity in America today is a superficial and pale shadow of the fullness of the life in Christ that he offers us through his church. This people does not know the Orthodox life in Christ, but only caricatures of Christianity. And this caricature often appears backwards or staged, the opposite of progressive, and irrelevant if not inauthentic. At the same time, I'm always stunned at the apathy as well. It makes me want to shout out to people, "Don't you know what you're missing? Don't you realize that Jesus Christ is truth and life itself? That God loves you and invites you to share in his life forever." While I don't usually shout that out at people, it's in my heart sometimes to do so because I ache for those who are missing out on the true life that's only in Christ. And the fact that they don't care that they are. They don't realize what they're missing. And so I think our godly response to them has to be one of sadness for them and of pity for them, of mercy towards them, and a desire to really witness to them through our own lives. And time feels very short to reach this people with the gospel and the Orthodox faith, because it seems like every 10 years they become more secular and more secular and more further away from this Orthodox life in Christ. Well, the two saints that we celebrate today, and actually there's more than just two, because we remember all of the new martyrs of Russia this day as well. But St. John Chrysostom and St. Nino, as well as the new martyrs, understood the urgency of the gospel for each generation. And I'm using that word intentionally, urgency. They had a sense of the urgency of people coming to know Christ and his church. And they lived so many hundreds and hundreds of years before us. 1500, 1600 years, 1700 years before us. And this was something shared by the new martyrs of the former Soviet Union that we commemorate this day as well. who suffered in the flesh, suffered martyrdom for the sake of the truth of Christ in a godless age. Love of Jesus Christ, translated as it always does, into growth for the people and desire for them to be nurtured in the faith and continue to grow further up and further in the life that Christ is. And as we grow in the knowledge and love of God through our increased communion with Him, we naturally come to see and love others as He does. This is why the saints all share this love, this intense love for their fellow man in common, if manifested maybe sometimes in different ways, in different missions. Nino's calling to Georgia was different than St. John Chrysostom standing up to the Empress Eudoxia, as was different from the new martyrs of Russia and the former Soviet Union that stood up for the faith and confessed it and gave their lives for it. St. John Chrysostom didn't compromise the truth of the gospel to please the Empress. He could have done so very easily and would have been handsomely rewarded. And this, of course, was her expectation. Instead, what did he do? He held her to account for the egregious vices and contempt for the value of human life, for their disregard for the poor. And for his outspokenness, he was exiled to the Caucasus Mountains. And there he died uttering his last words in 407 AD, "Doxa to Theo panton en eken," glory to God for all things. To paraphrase G.K. Chesterton, the role of the saint is to hold up a mirror to the culture so that it sees itself in the light of Christ. In other words, so that it can truly see what it is, what it's missing, how far from the true life that it really is, so that people can repent, so that people can come to their senses, just like Jonah going to Nineveh. Those people needed that. And how did they respond? Once they heard that they were sinning, once they heard that they were separating themselves from life itself, from God, they instantly repented. They wanted to turn away from that life and turn to the one true God. And so, because the saints are doing this, because they hold up this mirror, many people don't want to change. Many people find them irritating in the way, blocking whatever progress they think that they're making. And so for this reason, the saints often end up martyrs. Many people don't want to be held accountable or told that they're wrong or have the teachings of Christ interfere with their lifestyle or want that to get in their way. The Empress Eudoxia was one of them, but St. John loved Christ more than he feared the Empress or any man. His citizenship was so much of heaven. He was truly in this world, but not of this world. And so for this reason, for his love of God and his church, for his countless gifts of teaching, prayers, homilies, and commentaries on the Holy Scriptures, and his modeling of the life of Christ, his memory will be eternal in God's sight. Now, St. John died in Georgia. And this is an interesting opportunity that we have this Sunday, because all of the saints that we commemorate have some connection with each other. St. John died in Georgia in exile, where another great saint, Nino, whom we also commemorate this day, was called by Jesus Christ to spread the gospel. In love for the Virgin Theotokos, she desired to reach the people of Georgia with the good news of Jesus Christ, a people that was still dead in paganism. She asked the Theotokos to intercede for her to her son because Christ's robe had been brought to Georgia. And she knew that the Theotokos would help her to be able to go to this place that had such a precious relic of her son and our God. Nino, in turn, was compelled by her love for God to reach out to the people of Georgia with the gospel. She didn't feel like she was doing it because of some self-righteous, I'm the person to do this great task. She did it out of a sense of humility and love for God. And that love for God translated into love for the people that she met. In this case, the people of Georgia. She couldn't bear to think of this people not knowing Christ and his church. Now, imagine for a second a woman, even in this age, setting out to do such great evangelistic work. It would be such a difficult task for man or woman. But in her day, for a woman to go on her own to a foreign pagan people took such great courage. It took such great humility. And so she set out with the blessing of the Patriarch of Jerusalem to evangelize a whole nation, to be disposed to God to accomplish great things for him because of her love for him. Well, as you can expect, Nino received a mixed blessing and reception in Georgia. Her grapevine cross, her simple cross in hand, and equipped with a prayerful spirit and love of Christ for the Georgian people, she smashed the pagan idol temples, not with her hands, but with her prayers. And while the queen embraced the life in Christ, her husband, King Mirian, was not pleased to see his countrymen turn from the pagan idols to Christ. And so he planned to murder Nino. But just as he fixed his plan to do so, God blinded him. And he turned to the man-made pagan.